come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is the Lord our God, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Holy is our God. He calls his people to be holy, set apart for him, that it may go well with us. Well, the Lord be with you and also with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, despite in lockdown in our homes, if we allow ourselves to think on it and remind each other, we really do have much to be thankful to our God. So let's begin our time of church, of worship this morning, humbly thanking and praising our God, together saying, Gracious God, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given to us, for life and health and safety, for power to work, leisure to rest, for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, good morning and welcome to church, everyone. We trust you are well and continuing to keep safe. Be encouraged. For those listening in, visiting our service, my name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the senior minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. Welcome. We here at Abbotsford Anglican are a group of local people of all ages and backgrounds who've come to find meaning and purpose for life by living life God's way, according to his word, the Bible. We invite you to know God with us. Involved in the service today is Diane. She'll be reading the set Bible readings, and Rosemary will lead us in prayer. This morning, we continue our Bible teaching time through the Old Testament books of Ezra and Haggai, learning of God from his word. Today, we're thinking on the question, when a good intention is to be refused. Our mission focus for August is on the work of ministry to refugees. In particular, today we'll pray for the work of Cameron and Lara Blair. We'll also pray for the work of Anglicare, hospital chaplains, in particular the Reverend David Anthonez. David is presently the Anglican chaplain at Concord Hospital. Well, let's get straight into our Bible teaching time. So please open up your Bibles to Ezra chapter 4. And thanks, Diane, for reading the scriptures to us this morning.
Hello. It's nice to be able to share in this service with you this morning. We're going to hear from God's word, but let me pray to start. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Open our hearts to receive your word, that we may know you better and be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first reading is from Ezra chapter 4, verses 1 to 5 and 24. When the enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the exiles were building a temple for the Lord, the God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and to the heads of the families and said, Let us help you build, because like you we seek your God and have been sacrificing to him since the time of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, who brought us here. But Zerubbabel, Joshua, and the rest of the heads of the families of Israel answered, You have no part with us in building a temple to our God. We alone will build it for the Lord, the God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, commanded us. Then the peoples around them set out to discourage the people of Judah and make them afraid to go on building. They bribed officials to work against them and frustrate their plans during the entire reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, and down to the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Thus the work on the house of God in Jerusalem came to a standstill until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. The second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, through to chapter 7, verse 1. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, keep your Bibles open there at Ezra chapter 4. Our travels in the Bible over these few weeks are meant to give us an opportunity to learn from the example of God's people in the past. When given a new opportunity to begin with God, what did they do? Where did they start? It's around 537 BC, and in fulfillment of what had been foretold by the prophet Jeremiah, God's people, the Jews, had been allowed to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple of the Lord. In the sovereign plan of God, God had caused for a decree from Cyrus, the king of Persia, to put it into effect. Chapter 1 of Ezra. And so over a period of time, around 50,000 Jews returned to Jerusalem in accordance with God's word. But on arrival, they were met with disappointment. It wasn't the land their forefathers first walked into. It was now a land devastated by war, a pile of rubble, suffering from years of neglect. How do you begin again with God when life is like a pile of rubble? Well, we learnt last week, new beginnings with God start with trusting God at his word and obeying it. They got on with what they were allowed to do and to build the temple of the Lord. We learned too that new beginnings with God start with getting right with God, having the reassurance of sin forgiven and being acceptable in his sight, the reassurance to go on in trust and obedience and to not be afraid. That's why they built the altar first before the foundations of the temple to sacrifice and atone for sin in accordance with keeping the word of God, to start their new relationship with the assurance of sin forgiven and acceptable in God's sight. For us, new beginnings with God start with the cross of Christ, for there we find forgiveness and the reassurance to go on in trust and obedience and to not be afraid. We have no need for an altar, for the altar pointed to a once-for-all sacrifice to atone for our sins, the cross of Christ. There at the cross, Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. We also learnt that new beginnings with God are to be shared with his people, shared celebrations. And that's what God's people did. When the altar was built and the foundation laid, they celebrated. For new beginnings with God are not just my story, but our story. For us, God is building a new temple. We, the church, are his new temple. His spirit is with us, built on the apostles, prophets, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone. We all need to hear, that all may hear far and wide what God has done. To him be the glory. This morning we pick up on this story in chapter 4 of Ezra. We left last week asking the question, now that the altar has been rebuilt, sacrifices being offered, the foundation for the temple completed, and the people celebrating, will they go on and build the temple? The first stages of rebuilding the temple had been completed, and it didn't go unnoticed, for the people around about them could see, verses 1 and 4. Put out by these new people on their turf, we can understand them feeling a little uncomfortable about sharing the land with their new arrivals. Those who had been there before God's people had arrived had inhabited the land for some time. We're told in verse 2, since the time of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, that would make it around about 150 years. Who were these people? Well, in 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 24 and following, we read about them. After the capture and destruction of the northern kingdom Israel in 722 BC by the Assyrians, we read, the king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Cutha, Ava, Hamath, and Sepharvaim, and settled them in the towns of Samaria to replace the Israelites. They took over Samaria and lived in its towns. These are the people we read of in the Bible called the Samaritans. We're all familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan and the woman Jesus met at the well. These Samaritans had no doubt seen the work in progress on the temple of God and heard the loud celebrations when the foundation was completed. Chapter 3, verse 13. From what we read, it aroused their interest, and being in no position to kick them out, but to have to get along with them, their first approach appears admirable. They offer their assistance. Look there at verse 2. Let's help you build, because like you, we seek your God and have been sacrificing to him. This is somewhat true. Whilst in captivity, these Samaritans had learned the customs and religious practices of God's people. But prior to being placed in the land, they had not. We pick up and read from verse 24 there of 2 Kings chapter 17. When they first lived there, they did not worship the Lord. So God sent lions among them, and they killed some of the people. It was reported to the king of Assyria, the people you deported and resettled in the towns of Samaria do not know what the God of the country requires. He has sent lions among them, which are killing them off, because the people do not know what he requires. Then the king of Assyria gave this order. Have one of the priests you took captive from Samaria go back to live there and teach the people what the God of the land requires. So one of the priests who had been exiled from Samaria came to live in Bethel and taught them how to worship the Lord. Nevertheless, each national group made its own gods in the several towns where they settled and set them up in the shrines the people of Samaria had made at the high places. The people from Babylon made Succoth, Benoth. Those from Cutha made Neragal, and those from Hamath made Ashemah. The Avivites made Nibhaz and Tatok, and the Sepharvites burnt their children in the fire as sacrifices to Adramelech and Anamelech, the gods of Sepharvaim. They worshipped the Lord, but they also appointed all sorts of their own people to officiate for them as priests in the shrines at the high places. They worshipped the Lord, but they also served their own gods in accordance with the customs of the nations from which they had been brought. To this day, they persist in their former practices. They neither worship the Lord nor adhere to the decrees and regulations, the laws and commands that the Lord God gave the descendants of Jacob, whom he named Israel. Well, when talking with the Samaritan woman at the well, you may remember what Jesus said about these Samaritans. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. John 4, verse 22. While there was an element of truth in the Samaritans' offer of help to God's people, and their intent appears sincere, God being sovereign and compared to what he required of his people, such a union, such a yoking together, like two beasts in the field ploughing, despite how economical and admirable it seemed, would certainly end in disaster, as the two natures, being true to themselves, would eventually have to work against each other. Mixed worship had been God's people's undoing in the past. New beginnings meant learning from the mistakes of the past, the scars of the present, and not doing them again. And so we pick up back there in 2 Kings at verse 35 of chapter 17. When the Lord made a covenant with the Israelites, 2 Kings 17, verses 35 to 40, he commanded them, "Do not worship any other gods or bow down to them, serve them or sacrifice to them. But the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt with mighty power and outstretched arm is the one you must worship. To him you shall bow down and to him offer sacrifices. You must always be careful to keep the decrees and regulations, the laws and commands he wrote for you. Do not worship other gods. Do not forget the covenant I have made with you, and do not worship other gods. Rather, worship the Lord your God. It is he who will deliver you from the hand of all your enemies." And regarding the Samaritans, verse 40, they would not listen, however, but persisted in their former practices. Mixed worship will be our undoing too. The approval and affection of the world and those of other faiths can be bought at too high a price. As admirable and tempting as it may seem, to walk a middle road, to be at one with those who believe and practice what we know is not what God reveals of himself and decrees in his word, and mix our worship, will mean the loss of everything we hold dear that comes from a relationship with God and his people. Such a yoking together would certainly end in disaster. And sadly, such a yoking together with those who profess to be Christian, but teach and live not according to God's word, but practice contrary and approve of those who do, will certainly also end in disaster. There are times when good intentions are to be respectfully refused. Holy is our God. He calls us to be holy, set apart for him, that it may go well with us. We are to remember whose people we are, bought at the price of Christ's own blood. There are times when good intentions are to be respectfully refused. Holy is our God. He calls us to be holy, set apart for him, that it may go well with us. We are to remember whose people we are, bought at the price of Christ's own blood. As uncomfortable and as unworldly that may seem, we must remember we are in the world, but not of it. We belong to God. We are not of our own to do as we like. You shall have no other gods before me. Exodus 20, verse 3. Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the other family heads were alert to this. Despite the Samaritans' offer of help, God's people in the past set us a good example to follow. They flatly but respectfully rejected their offer. Verse 3. "You have no part with us in building a temple to our God," they said. "We alone will build it for the Lord, the God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, commanded us." Acceptance can be bought at too high a price, yet refusal may bring strong opposition. And we shouldn't be surprised. Our Lord has told us, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you." John 15, 18 and 19. We can understand now why Ezra called the peoples around them, verse 4 there, their enemies. Look there at verse 5. "When masks are removed and true natures and intentions revealed, they bribed officials to work against them and frustrated their plans, to discourage the people of Judah and make them afraid to go on building," verse 4. And sadly, over time, it worked, wearing away at God's people. We read in verse 24, "Thus the work of the house of God in Jerusalem came to a standstill until the second year of the reign of Darius, the king of Persia." We should not be surprised at opposition and undermining and withdrawal of support when we honour God and refuse to compromise our worship. It's by no means new. Indeed, throughout the history of the world, God's people have always encountered such whenever they have been at his work. Satan opposes every attempt to advance God's kingdom. Jesus warned his followers that this would happen as they went into the world to make disciples of all nations. Matthew 10, verse 17 and 22. "Be on your guard against men," he said to them. "They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. All men will hate you because of me." Be that as it will be, we are the temple of the living God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. As God has said, "I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate," says the Lord. "Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters," says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness and reverence for God. Let me pray. Teach us, O gracious God, to begin our works with reverence, to go on in obedience, and finish them with love, and then wait patiently in hope and with cheerful countenance to look up to you, whose promises are faithful and rewards infinite. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Teach me to walk in righteous paths and follow.
Although we are the people of God, Scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that the Lord Jesus died for us and intercedes for us with the Father. So let us draw near to God, who freely forgives through his infinite goodness and mercy, and pray to him with sincerity and confidence. Together, Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation. Amen. Well, Rosemary is going to come to now up to the lectern and lead us in our time of prayer.
Good morning, everybody. The Lord be with you and also with you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. In Psalm 16, verse 8, we read, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Lord God of heaven and earth, thank you that we can know you. You come to us through the Lord Jesus, and you walk with us day by day. You guide and bless us. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we want to be a people who flow with the love of God. As we seek you more, we will find more of you. So help us to put our trust in you every day. In times where we are tempted to trust in other things, keep us close to you. We pray for your blessing upon us, that you will surround us with your love. May you always be first in our lives. May we learn to meditate upon your word more and claim your promises for our lives. Thank you that you will never leave us or forsake us as we put our trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let us pray that we may grow in the love of God. Almighty and ever-living God, your Spirit made us your children, confident to call you Father. Increase your Spirit within us and bring us to our promised inheritance. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Sovereign Lord, you know all things, and through all circumstances of life you accompany your people. Prosper the work of those providing vaccinations for the coronavirus. Please encourage all people to come forward for vaccination. Calm their fears and give them confidence in the professionals who are advising and guiding our health directives. As the number of cases here and also across other regions of the world increase, protect and strengthen those who are treating the sick. Comfort those who are sick and those who mourn the loss of loved ones or are living in fear of this disease. Give to the governing authorities wisdom in their management of this crisis, and grant to your people patience, compliance, and peace, generous and wise hearts, and a renewed trust in your sovereign goodness and glory. Turn the hearts of many experiencing fear and anxiety to you, that they may find that peace which only you can give, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray today for those who minister to refugees in Australia, especially the Blair family in Western Sydney. We thank you for the hard work they put into building friendships and connections with the youth, and for the practical care and support they so lovingly give. We thank you for opportunities individuals and their families have to hear the gospel, and we pray that these opportunities will continue to arise where the love of Jesus is spoken about and lives changed in response to your amazing grace. In these uncertain times in Sydney, we pray that you will provide the resources needed to maintain these ministries and give strength to your field workers that the harvest may be bountiful. And we ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. We also pray today for hospital chaplaincy, particularly the work at Concord Hospital. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the birth of a son, Michael, to Emily and Mark Carpenter, and pray for your blessing upon their family. As Emily takes maternity leave, we pray that the new chaplain at Concord Hospital, the Reverend David Antonis, that as he begins his ministry, he will develop good relationships with hospital staff so that they can work together to meet the needs of patients. We pray that David will be able to support patients as they grapple with their illnesses, pains and grievings, and in the process that God's love for them in Christ would touch their hearts. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would guide David in visiting the people you, Father, want him to visit, and that your Spirit would open their lives to hearing more about God's love for them. As patients are not allowed visitors during this COVID lockdown, we pray for all patients that they would not suffer more distress as a result of not being comforted by their loved ones, and for the consequential pressures placed on staff in caring for patients at this time. We pray for all chaplains who work in our hospitals that you, O Lord God, would supply their needs as they serve you. And we ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we commend to your keeping ourselves and each other, our families, our neighbours and our friends. We continue to uphold before you members of our congregation here. We pray for Lynn Clark, Jean Steele, Kay Woodcock, Max Schweizer and Diane Bastable. We also uphold to you our church families and their children, and the kids club leaders as they continue to keep connected through Kids Church Online. Give to us all a firm trust in your goodness, and bring us all into the joy of your salvation and everlasting kingdom. Hear us, Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thanks, Rosemary. Well, let's stand and state what we believe with Christians everywhere. Do you believe in God the Father? We believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in God's Son? We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life that's everlasting. Amen. Well, on Friday you would have received in the emails again, Janice faithfully sending off to you an email with the bulletin in it, the news and notes, and relevant information for the parish. Parish Council will be meeting on Sunday. Please pray for us as we gather and as we plan ahead in these times. And also, please, I invite you to join me tonight via Zoom anytime between 5 to 6 p.m. It would be good to catch up and see you face to face. The link has been forwarded to you via email from Janice on Friday. Or if you haven't got it and would like to receive it, just give me a call through the office. There are times when good intentions are to be refused. Holy is our God. He calls us to be holy, set apart for him, that it may go well with us. Well, that brings our service to a close. So thank you for joining me. If you're visiting our service, we invite you to join with us again next week. Before we leave, let's pray for each other together. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the love of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Who else can make it?
And sadly, such a yoking together with those who profess to be Christian, but teach and live not according to God's word, but practice contrary and approve of those who do, will certainly end in disaster. There are times when good intentions are to be respectfully refused. Holy is our God. He calls us to be holy, set apart for him, that it may go well with us. We are to remember whose people we are, bought at the price of Christ's own blood. As uncomfortable and as unworldly that may seem, we must remember we are in the world, but not of it. We belong to God. We are not of our own to do as we like. You shall have no other gods before me. Exodus 20, verse 3.